From NPR News, I'm Tony Cox. Today we conclude our four-part roundtable on identity in the United States. Our panelists all week long have included Richard Rodriguez in San Francisco, author of a memoir about being Mexican-American. His latest book is titled Brown. Deborah Dickerson in Albany, New York, a former U.S. News and World Report editor and author of The End of Blackness. Ara Hahn in Boston. She's co-editor of Asian American X, Personal Stories from Young Asian Americans. And Russell Means here in Los Angeles, a veteran activist and actor best known as a leader of the American Indian takeover of Wounded Knee on the Pine Ridge Reservation in 1973. Yesterday's discussion on sexual politics and cross-cultural relationships became a bit contentious when Russell Means spoke on the idea of interracial marriage.
You don't see the bald eagle mate with the golden eagle or the black widow spider mate with the scorpion. That's respect for life. And for our deep respect of life, intermarriage with any other, it's like what I told my daughters when they went off to college. I said, understand how you've been raised to respect who you are, and to respect your future generations.
Both Richard Rodriguez and Deborah Dickerson took issue with Russell Means' comments, but Ara Hahn today offers context through the relationship of colonization to the notion of a purity of race.
I understand in some part what Russell is saying, or what he is getting at, because I think this experience of having been colonized, it brings out certain aspects of what you consider to be important. I'm not sure if I can legitimately call them my people, but the Korean people were colonized by Japan at the turn of the last century. And I noticed that it has brought out this homogeneity, this purity of race value that's still emphasized in my parents' generation, even though they have no recollection of that colonization experience. And I think I can sympathize with perhaps what Russell was trying to get at, which was that, well, when you've been subject to a destiny that you have not chosen for so long, then I think there is this sort of internal dream of seeing your people, your culture or your race, you want to see that be able to live freely without subjugation from the paternalistic influence. But we live in a paternalistic society, and that's just reality, in my opinion. So my perspective here is actually quite close to Richard's in that, well, we're here, so what are we going to do now?
This is precisely the point that I was trying to get to with regard to whether each of us individually, as representatives of our various ethnic groups, have understanding of the experiences of the other and how our understanding of their experiences have shaped our ideas about ourselves, as well as the person that we're talking about. Now, question to you, Richard, then, is there something either in Russell's experience or Deborah's or Ara's or mine that helps you understand who we are and who you are?
Well, can I just say, this is maybe to move the discussion in an area that you don't want to go into. That's my own homosexuality, that as a child, I've always felt myself, in some sense, alien to my tribe, and was always aware of the fact that the most radical, the most dangerous thing about me was my erotic desire, which was sinful, which was a scandal, which would bring down the roof of my house if I were to admit it to my parents. So I was always attracted to those loners in history, those people in the tribe who wander away from the fire, who go off to find out what's on the other side of the mountain, those people who get onto boats and to find another civilization and who try a different food, who put different words into their mouths that their own ancestors have never pronounced. I always liked the idea of that wanderer. I think now, as I look back on the child that I was, his willingness to wander into an auditorium full of black men when he was a child and to listen to Malcolm X, for example, his bravery in doing that was in some sense a sexual bravery, that he knew that in some sense he was an outcast of his tribe. My point is that sexual dynamic in my life, I think, made me always a champion of those people who are not afraid to wander away from their tribe and to be unorthodox.
Now, over the course of the week in these discussions, we've experienced some tension, I think it's fair to say, from time to time, talking about race, identity, sexual politics, and cross-cultural relationships, but I think this is a good thing. I'd like to ask each of you on our last day today, beginning with you, Ara, to comment on this kind of tension and how it's representative, if you agree, of the tensions that can exist between the various ethnic groups who are represented here and how we can move beyond this.
I can identify to some degree, I think, based on my own personal experience with many of the things that have been said so far. I can find similar experiences or translate my own experiences to reach across the divides. And there are divides which are shown simply by the fact that we are all of different races on this show. Can I identify cultural, historically, with some of what Russell is talking about? My experiences of alienation growing up, I read Richard's Hunger of Memory when I was in college, and I found a lot of what he talked about, that alienation of being a non-white kid in youth, to be very compelling. And I also heard you, Tony, talk about, you know, the blacks, the whites, the Hispanics, and, you know, the Native Americans, and then the Asians. And then right there, it comes home that we probably still have a ways to go. And I sort of latch on to this use of Asians, Tony, because Hispanic, as you and Richard discussed, is a term that was invented by the U.S. Census. Black is simply a color, and it's really identified with America. White is identified with the Western Hemisphere. But Asian is decidedly foreign. And I think that's a struggle for Asian Americans that is not shared by Hispanic Americans or Hispanics and blacks and whites. And so there we have it. Mm-hmm. I think the major struggle that we address, my co-editor John and I, in Asian American X, is that of injecting ourselves into the American dialogue as Americans, not as foreigners and not as honorary whites, as has been historically so.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate your pointing that out to me, because it wasn't something that I was even aware of, and I consider myself informed. And yet, you know, I'm guilty, as many others are, so I thank you for that. Richard, I'd like your brief comments, and then Deborah, and then Russell, we're going to let you have the last word. Richard, you're next.
Just that I do like the tension in this conversation. I don't shy away from it. But I also think that a lot of the conversation is dated, and that in a few years we will find this a bit Victorian, this conversation we're having. We live in a century already in which it is clear in which religion may replace race as the basic organizer and divider of peoples in the world, both dangerously and not. And I go to schools where on the one hand, kids who have multiple identities, multiple racial identities, now predominate in some California schools, and kids who don't have those multiple identities feel themselves impoverished to that degree. We live in a century also in which increasingly the erotic impulse is as strong as the fundamentalist impulse to clarify and to simplify and to draw back people from each other and to become pure again. Racists do it, religious fundamentalists do it, and people who are afraid of the future do it. I tell you, we are propelled into a future which may be very dangerous indeed, but is going to be very brown. And anyone who does not want to participate in that journey can easily go to a gated community, and there are gated communities of all sorts in the world. But I do not want to live in such a place.
Deborah Dickerson.
I think the tension that we have experienced in this conversation isn't racial at all. I think the tension, which isn't to say that racial conversations aren't often tense, which is why they so rarely occur. I think that's a tendency in minority communities to be doctrinaire and superior and illogical and unreasonable, and make it impossible for these kind of conversations to take place. They have to be conversations where, you know, whites and Western culture has to be all bad and the minority culture is all good. And those are not conversations in which any real discussions can be had. And I think up until very recently, that tendency was tolerated as whites and non-blacks would sort of give way. But I think that more and more people are demanding that you defend your positions and that all sides be heard. So I think the tension is between open discussion and doctrinaire sermons.
Russell, you get the last word.
Well, once again, I'm going to bring up the unknown, which is matriarchy. And I ask everyone to figure out why matriarchal peoples around the world are under vicious genocidal attacks, whether they live in the mountains of India, or the mountains of Formosa, or Quemoy, or in the northern islands of Japan, or whether they live in Africa, on the plains, or in the mountains, or in the jungles. Those matriarchal societies are not understood, and I do believe that is why they're under such vicious attacks by the patriarchs. Respect, not ideology, not some fomented educational process that gives you all these fancy words to talk with, but respect. Respect for your relatives' visions. And one of the prime movers of respect for who you are throughout her story, not history or his story, but her story. And I want you all to understand, you better find out what matriarchy is all about, and then you'll be happy with being who you are. Thank you.
I think that the dialogue is important. We certainly have had that this week, and it's been my pleasure to be the moderator of this very enlightening discussion. I want to thank each and every one of you, the guests on this. First, Richard Rodriguez, author of a 3-volume memoir about being Mexican-American. His latest book, Brown, examines an in-between state where all the races are mixed in. Richard, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Tony.
Arahan is co-editor of Asian American X, a collection of personal stories from college-aged Asian Americans. A recent graduate of Boston College, she is now a research associate at Harvard Business School. Ara, thank you for being with us as well.
Thank you, Tony.
Deborah Dickerson is a former U.S. News and World Report editor and author of The End of Blackness. In her book, she describes how the idea of blackness has forced African Americans into an unhealthy obsession with white America. Deborah, thank you as well for being with us.
Thank you very much,
and
Tony.
Last but certainly not least, Russell Means, a veteran actor and activist best known as a leader of the American Indian Takeover of Wounded Knee on the Sioux Indian Reservation in 1973. His best-selling autobiography, Where White Men Fear to Tread, is currently in its 10th printing. With great respect, thank you, sir, for being with us as well.
Thank you.
That concludes our 4-day discussion on race and identity in America. To listen to all 4 days of the roundtable, log on to our website at npr.org.